The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position of ONTV's management, staff, or board of directors.
It's intercepted by Saberstill. Mikey Saberstill has a couple of blockers. A convoy. Michigan. Set up inside the 10. Mikey Saberstill. Play of this defense tonight.
You got to get in the water to compete. Then there's a number of teams, they are in the shallows. You just got to get a hold of them, though. If you can just get a hold of them and you start dragging their ass out to the deep, dark abyss, you can drown them. Because we'll tread water as long as it takes to fucking bury you.
All I think about is you guys. That's all I think about, man. That's all I think about is you guys. I just need you to trust me. That's all. Please.
Picked up by the Lions. Intercepted. Coming back the other way. Ifeatu Melifonwu. This is going to be over. Lions are going to win it. Lions are bringing the NFC North title back to Detroit.
And it's been 30 years.
30 years.
It's special, man. And these guys have been dying for it. Wait for it, man. It's for you, baby.
I feel like I want to get up out of my chair. I'm ready to play. I'm ready to go.
All righty. And welcome into Views from the Sidelines.
How do we switch intros after that?
Well, it has to be shorter, that's for sure.
Well, maybe. But
that's the problem.
I got the hairs up on my arm.
I know. That's what I was thinking. I was working hard on that.
That's incredible.
And now I can't hear in my headphones. But, yeah, this is Views from the Sidelines. We got a lot of big topics to talk about. I'm Joey Tyson. That's Malik Hill.
Joey Tyson.
I'm too amped up for this weekend. I've been talking about it all week. Lions have a playoff game. Michigan won a national championship for the first time since 1997. Malik, how old were you in 1997?
It's funny you asked. After the game, I called my uncle, who basically like indoctrinated me into being a Michigan fan. Oh man.
Sorry. Is that yours? Okay, I found
and yeah, like starting at age like 10 and 11, my mom used to take me over to his house to watch football like every Saturday. And I just spend the day with him and his three TVs just going back and forth. And he said he propped me up on the couch when I was barely a year old. I was born in 1996, April 1996. He said he propped me up on the couch during the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I apparently watched it. Obviously, no memory.
Yeah.
But it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I literally had, I'd lost hope. Like, I figured that they would get over the hump of Ohio State eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think the recruiting would be enough. I didn't think the offensive system would be good enough. I thought you had to be like the early like 2010s, late 2000s Alabama teams,
mm-hmm.
where the talent is just so high level that you can just straight up out physical and just play a vanilla brand of football. But because you have those high level playmakers like the Mark Ingrams, Julio Joneses, you can go on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
You can play a basic offense and still dominate. And somehow Michigan, they did it. I mean, Jim Harbaugh. After 2020, he switched up the coaching staff. He got younger. Everything started to come together. They recruited the right players.
Mm-hmm.
And it all came together for just one special season.
Blake Corum came back.
Yeah, all the Trevor Keegan, Blake Corum, mm-hmm. Mike Saint, everybody that could have left
right.
in the draft last year came back. And from the beginning of the season, from the media days, they all said we came back to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
And Blake Corum said in the post game, business is finished. I mean, 15-0.
Yep, they did it.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They actually did it.
Now the real question is, can they do it again?
We'll get there at a later date.
We're just going to enjoy it.
When we look at one of like the most difficult schedules
yeah.
in Michigan football history, we'll get to that at a later time. But for now, I just got to I'm just soaking this in.
Yeah.
And still trying to wrap my head around the fact that they won a national championship.
Yeah. They made the best quarterback in college football look lost. And we were kind of sure that that might have happened, but there's always that thought in the back of your mind that, you know, Michael Penix could carve that defense up. But Michigan's defense set up, stepped up. They threw everything at them. And honestly, it should have been a bigger margin of victory, even though it was 34-13. It could have been crazy.
When they went up to 17-3 and everybody at that moment assumed it was a blowout waiting to happen.
Yeah. And Michigan kind of slowed down a little bit in like the third quarter and stuff.
It was very similar to the third quarter from the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy. The Cheaters won once again. Houston Astros of college football.
Listen, man, Connor Stallions, give him the ring. Nobody else deserves it. I mean, when the NCAA, it's hilarious that all these wins are going to be vacated, isn't it?
Classless.
This season won't matter.
Yeah. Come on. The NCAA Incredible. Is a proud organization. All right.
Listen, man. Kansas will never be. They'll never get in trouble for anything.
Yeah.
Bill Self has two national championships. Cheating and looking for like the upper hand has been a part of sports in general, but especially college sports from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
People are acting all high and mighty and brand new. Like this is, like this is something just insane.
Yeah.
And people are, it blows my mind. It really does.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for years, people called out Reggie Bush for being a terrible person. And now everybody's like, let's give him his Heisman back.
I saw somebody on Twitter after the game say this Michigan National Championship is on the same level as Reggie Bush's Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure. Reggie Bush should have his Heisman.
Right.
At this point, if you think Reggie Bush shouldn't have his Heisman, you're just like an angry, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
You're no fun. Reggie Bush should have his Heisman. Yeah. It's ridiculous that it got taken away.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about it before. Like, it doesn't really bother me. I don't think it mattered in the long run. I just think it's funny to talk about at this point. But, yeah, I mean, Michigan now most likely going to lose JJ. He could come back. A lot of there's some people that are starting to say maybe he should come back. And then Blake Corum's obviously gone. You can get Donovan Edwards for another year, potentially.
He also might leave after that performance in the national championship.
Right. Sometimes.
But he had a somewhat of a rough season. So
Most likely going to lose your coach. But when he was suspended, it didn't seem like it really mattered.
At this point, I'm not sure if it's most likely.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Okay.
I have no idea what it's going to be, but I'm not like swayed to either side totally at this point.
Okay. All right. But yeah, that wraps up the college football season. Your miraculous college football season.
You didn't give any thoughts on like what happened in the game.
I mean, I was waiting for you and you're just like dumbfounded.
Oh, I mean, I thought the game was
fun. It was kind of boring, though, at the same time. Like, nothing really happened. And that's why I said the whole time, like, Michigan can bore people. And that's not, like, a problem. I don't have a problem with it. But I just kind of sat there watching the game.
To the general public, if you looked on social media, it was obviously a problem.
Yeah.
Some people were saying, like, this was the worst national championship in a long time. Like, people weren't saying that when Alabama was winning this way.
Right.
Like, when they beat LSU 9-6 or whatever it was in that national championship, when they rematched from the regular season, I don't think anybody said Alabama was a bad national champion.
Right.
It's just that the game has changed so much, and offense has led the way.
Yeah.
And there have been, like, high-level quarterbacks putting up insane numbers. Seeing a team win like this is out of the ordinary.
Right.
In today's game.
It was no problem when Georgia blew out TCU, right?
But they put up a lot of points, though.
I guess.
So, yeah. When you put up a lot of points, it's respectable.
Yeah.
But when you play this style in today's game and you're not an SEC team, you don't have a ton of five stars that look like absolute freaks, even though Michigan has freaks.
Yeah.
Especially on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it rubs people the wrong way. That mixed with the quote-unquote cheating stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those two big plays from Donovan Edwards were incredible.
Yeah, I thought it was crazy because I hadn't seen him all season, it felt like.
Yeah.
And his first two plays, both touchdowns. So, stepped up in the big moment, which was cool to see.
Yeah, Washington's adjustments with the short passing game and the way they kind of shut down the run game in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a good job, but they just couldn't get over that hump.
Yeah.
Like that missed deep ball to Rome Odunze was huge.
Yeah.
That pick to come out in the second half to Will Johnson was big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Michigan just, they kept letting Washington hang around, and Washington could never take advantage.
They would march down the field, and then they just couldn't punch it in, it felt like a few times. Kind of on both sides, to be honest, but. Yeah, it was crazy, and obviously a lot of people around here were super happy about it. I saw it all over social media. If you go anywhere else in the national media, they kind of played it off. But
watching Paul Feinbaum have to admit that Michigan is the best, and just completely changed his tune, warmed my heart.
A guy like it Kirk Herbstreit on the call.
Yeah. Honestly, Kirk has never like shown extra hate to Michigan. I've never had a major problem with Kirk. But it's the guys like Paul, where Jim Harbaugh was always overrated and not that good.
Yeah.
Michigan was never going to beat Ohio State or get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
And then they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a doubter. I didn't think – I was at a point where I thought Jim Harbaugh probably should go.
After 2020, like 80% of people at least had said Jim should probably go.
Yeah.
But, hey, they stuck it out.
They got it all to work.
Crazy things happen.
Yeah. But college football was down this year. That's why. Don't worry about it.
Also, I want to say to all the people that complained about the holding calls.
Oh, yeah.
If it happened to your team, you wouldn't be complaining. Reffing has been terrible for a long time, and it's worse than it's ever been. It happened to go Michigan's way at some points in that game, and I don't care.
Yeah. I was going to say.
I don't care. If it was your team, you wouldn't care either.
I feel like that happens a lot. Like holding calls.
This is a every game thing in football nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Holding calls. You can call holding on almost every other play.
Yeah,
you can.
Yeah, and that's
just happened to swing Michigan's way a few times.
It's usually what people turn to when they lose. And I mean, I've been faulty of it at times when the Lions lose and things like that. But it happens. It happens all the time. So I don't know. Yeah, is there anything else you want to say about this glorious season?
No matter how tough things get after this, these memories, they might last forever. Like, I don't know if I'll ever see Michigan do this again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much luck and so much that has to come together for a season like this to happen that it's hard to imagine it happen multiple times. Unless you're like Alabama, where you constantly build the highest level of talent over and over and over again, and you have a certain like level of discipline in your program. That's the only time stuff like this happens. Nick Saban has done it like six times, and that never happens. There's a reason why he's the greatest in college history.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kirby Smart and Jim Harbaugh, I was just about to completely say something wrong. Kirby Smart has two national championships at this point, not one.
Hmm.
But Michigan has one, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. And we know you'll at least be able to hold on for at least another 16 years, right?
Why 16?
Because that's the difference between 2023 and 1997.
See, I didn't even take that into account, honestly.
Am I wrong? No, I'm definitely wrong. I'm just dumb.
This is not.
I can't do math.
Listen, math doesn't matter on this podcast. Okay, we know percentages, and the stuff that matters.
It's okay. I was watching a sports podcast the other night too, and they like were talking about days of the week or something. They're like, "Well, how many days are in the year?" And somebody was like, 367. So you know, I'm not the only one. Again, I'm totally out of it this week because I just have my brain is on the Lions right now, and it's crazy. But we go from Michigan national title to Michigan college hoops.
Let's talk about some terrible basketball. Let's talk about the spectrum in Michigan sports exactly where
yeah.
one has to sacrifice themselves for the other to exist.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Rich Rod, Brady Hoke, a bunch of disappointing, terrible football, and Denard Robinson saving the day. Yeah, John Beilein.
26 years.
Being
like, so dumb.
At that same time, you had John Beilein being simultaneously one of the top five coaches, and he was known as the cleanest coach in college basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't recruit like the highest of the high-level players, but he recruited players that made sense for him, and he got the best out of every single one of them.
Yep.
Then
we got Nick Stauskas to be a lottery pick.
Yes, he did. Nick Stauskas was really good in college.
He was.
I thought he was going to be good. It's unfortunate. But yeah, now for Michigan football to prosper mm-hmm. and reach the highest level, Michigan basketball can't be good.
Yeah. It's like the Lions and the Pistons. We sacrificed the Pistons.
And Michigan
for the Lions.
Basketball sucks. They're terrible.
It's really bad.
Their body language is terrible. The coaching looks terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not good. It's not good. They have stretches where they look pretty good, and then they look terrible. I don't want to go into like major detail. Like, they can't defend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Juwan Howard can't teach his big men how to defend in the post. A few players are doing their best on offense to keep them alive, but it's not enough. They're just bad.
Yeah. Do you think? I mean, we kind of talked about it before, but do you think now, like, Juwan should be fired before the end of the season?
I don't think it's going to happen, but
okay.
I think it should happen. I want Phil Martelli to finish the year as the head coach.
Hmm.
Yeah. Juwan Howard let Phil Martelli coach the game they played in Philadelphia at the Palestra, where he used to coach when he coached St. Joe's. And that was kind of weird, but it was a nice gesture, but who does that?
Right. Who says, oh, yeah, you can coach tonight's
like,
game.
It seems like a mess where there are too many cooks in the kitchen and nobody can figure out who does what.
Yeah.
And why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm.
What is this program? What is our identity? What is this?
Yeah.
There are no answers to that question with Michigan basketball right now. Those questions.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a bunch of question marks.
Yeah. And they're on they're on a four-game losing streak.
Four-game skid. You lost to McNeese, who was the better team,
mm-hmm.
and coached by Will Wade, who's a better coach than Juwan Howard.
Yep.
Who did they lose to in Philadelphia? I can't even remember who they played in that game.
Was that Minnesota, or was that Penn State?
That was Penn State.
Penn State was on Sunday.
Yeah, they lost to Penn State. They were up by like 13 at the end of the first half, and they blew the lead in Juwan Howard fashion.
Penn State. Scored 52 in the second half.
Yeah. How many Michigan score in the second half?
36.
I'm not watching them for the rest of the season. They're not worth it. They're an embarrassment. They suck.
Yeah.
And they don't deserve our time. They don't.
And just to make you feel better about not watching, they're going to go to Maryland tomorrow. And then they got Ohio State, which Ohio State has been very impressive this year. Kind of a surprise to me. Then they're playing at they're home for Ohio State and Illinois. Then they go to Purdue. Then they play Iowa at home. And then they go to East Lansing. Good luck.
That's a good time.
Good luck.
That's a lot of fun.
Then they play Rutgers, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Illinois, Michigan State,
Northwestern, Purdue. I hope Nebraska beats them by 30.
The Big Ten.
Oh, Nebraska beats them by 50.
All of their opponents right now, for the rest of the season, are above 500. That's how good the
Welcome
Big Ten is
Big
right
Ten.
Now. The Big Ten is playing even better than I thought they would this season. And it's brutal out there. And Michigan, they might be at the bottom.
They might be.
Which is crazy. That's crazy.
They have no excuse. They have the talent to be a top five team in the league, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And they have nothing going for them.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. It's unfortunate.
So, yeah, congratulations, Michigan basketball.
You're going to have to reset.
You're the complete opposite of Michigan football.
Yeah.
Who would have thought we would say that in the past decade. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yeah. And then there's Michigan State basketball, who is
not terrible.
They're sort of the opposite of their football team, where their football team's like okay at times, but not good. And then the basketball team's okay at times, but they're not great. So, like, they're still good, but nothing special.
As long as you have Tyson Walker, you're in every game.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what this season is so far. Yeah. As long as he's playing and he's healthy and, at least two guys can score in double digits besides him, they have a chance in almost every game.
Yeah. But the problem is, like, the last few years is they don't have a set-in-stone number two guy. They don't have a set-in-stone number three guy. So how can you trust the team night in and night out when you don't know what's going to happen? Like I was saying before the podcast, Malik Hall had like back-to-back 20-plus point games, and then when they played Northwestern, he had 25 minutes, 0 points, 0 assists, 0 rebounds, 1 foul. He got 1 foul. That's his only stat of the game.
How many shot attempts?
Oh, he did get 2 turnovers. 4. He shot the ball 4 times. Like, come on. Yeah.
That is the perfect example of Malik Hall, the Malik Hall experience.
It's just, it's disappointing. That's for sure. The two college basketball teams that we've known and loved around here that have been consistently making tournaments and stuff until last year, they're just disappointing, and they're no fun. How are the Golden Grizzlies doing, Malik?
They're okay, but I'm not going to go off. I'm not going to do it. You're trying to bait me, Joey.
Maybe.
Oakland is okay right now.
Yeah.
And that's as far as I will take it. I don't want to express my frustrations.
That's fair.
And go super controversial. Yet. there's a lot of season left.
Yeah.
I think Oakland is 9-6. Let me check really quick.
Yeah, they're 500. They're like third in the horizon, I think.
Yeah. All I will say right now is I'm not a fan of 99% of Greg Campy's coaching decisions. Most of them make zero sense.
Yeah.
But they're still talented enough to win some games.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. They're 9-8 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trey Townsend is coming off a big game, 28-11.
Yeah.
Blake Lantman has had a good stretch of shooting in the past 3 or 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, they're fourth in the conference right now, behind Cleveland State, Green Bay, and Purdue Fort Wayne.
Okay. Well, let's go over some of the top 25 in college basketball. It's been a minute since we've done that. Again, once football season's over, we have college football's over. So now we can include a little more college basketball as we're starting to get closer and closer to March Madness, as crazy as that sounds. But number one, still Purdue, 14-1. Houston is number two. They're going to fall. They just lost to Iowa State in kind of an ugly match.
You didn't mention Purdue lost, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did lose.
Purdue just got upset by 13-3 Nebraska.
Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah.
All the crazy games lately. So Kansas will most likely go back to number one. And then we got UConn that's there, and Tennessee, Kentucky, North Carolina, Arizona, Oklahoma, Illinois, Marquette, Duke, Memphis, Baylor, Wisconsin, Auburn, Colorado State, BYU, both falling though. San Diego State, those Aztecs that you always talk about, moving up. Utah State, a team that I always like, moving up. Clemson, Creighton, Gonzaga, FAU is falling off the map, in my opinion. And then there's Texas. Any team you want to mention that's either a surprise or a disappointment?
It shouldn't be a surprise, but I'm surprised about Wisconsin being this good right now.
Mm-hmm.
When they got A.J. Storr, the transfer from St. John's, who was like a borderline 4-star player,
mm-hmm.
I mean 5-star, I didn't understand why he went to Wisconsin. To me, what he did didn't really fit Wisconsin, but he's fit right in. Like, they needed his scoring.
Yeah.
They needed his level of talent to fit into what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Playing just like smart, sound basketball, getting wide open shots for three, good post games. Like, Wisconsin is pretty good. Not that fun to watch to me, but pretty good. Shouts out to San Diego State. Thank you for bringing up my Aztecs. Yeah. I think Kansas might be the best team in the country. Mm. They played a really close one at TCU at home over the weekend.
Yeah.
But they always seem to like figure out a way to win in the end. Right. And they just have, they've got a lot of firepower.
Mm-hmm. They do play Oklahoma on, was that Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, on Friday. So that'll be a big matchup for them too. But should be fun.
I think people should not sleep on Duke. I think they're starting to figure out what type of team they are.
Mm-hmm.
Their true freshman five-star guard, Jared McCain, is one of the best shooters in the country right now. He's shooting like 40% from three and taking like four threes a game. That's really good for a true freshman in today's game.
Yeah.
And Kyle Filipowski, I think he just came off of like a 30-12 game. Mm-hmm. They absolutely blew out Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So they've got a really good mix of veterans and like young guys that are really, they're starting to gel right now.
Right.
They're starting to look like a classic Duke team.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really enjoy watching them play. And I really enjoy Clemson.
Okay.
I like PJ Hall a lot. They're starting big man. They got Joe Girard, transfer from Syracuse. He's a sharpshooter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tyson Hunter is one of the most underrated. He might be the most underrated guard in college basketball. He is like a trustworthy guy in clutch moments. He can shoot it. He can take it to the hole. He plays hard. I really like him. And I like what Clemson has put together.
Okay.
They're an underrated team.
Okay.
Even though they were like top 10 last week and they
right.
yeah, lost a game. But I still think people just don't pay attention to Clemson basketball.
Yeah.
And they're building like a pretty good program.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense though. Like they're, as far as like ACC basketball goes, you don't really think of Clemson typically.
Yeah.
Because there's so many other teams that, you know, take the spotlight from them. But yeah, I'm going to put this in my bank in my head so I can go back to it when we're doing March Madness research, because I'm still slowly ramping up my college basketball stuff.
Yeah. Also, just a few more things.
Go for it.
I want to give you I'll do this once a week. I'll give you a player to watch out for.
Okay.
This kid right here is one of my favorite players in college basketball. He's not playing as great as I hoped he would, but he's still one of the better point guards in the mid-major level of college basketball. He's a really, really high-level shooter. He can pass it. He's tough and he's clutch. Aiden Mahaney at St. Mary's.
Okay.
Yeah, he had a great freshman season last year for St. Mary's. He was their starting point guard.
I feel like I remember the name.
Yeah, he helped lead an upset of Gonzaga at home.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only shooting 37% from the field, only 31% from three. Last year, he was a 40% three-point shooter.
Okay.
And I've still seen moments where he, like, gets on hot streaks and shoots the lights out. But, mm-hmm. yeah, it's kind of struggling from shooting. Aiden Mahaney is a really good player you should check out.
Okay.
And lastly, Nebraska is my team for the rest of the year. They're 13-3.
Yep.
Keisei Tominaga might be the best shooter in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much for him to get going, and he hits difficult shots. He makes it look easy.
Yeah.
Go Cornhuskers. Michigan sucks.
They're the type of team that's going to be a tough out in tournament play.
If they keep this up.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't just like a
little
this
stretch.
Is the best start they've had in a very long time.
Yeah.
And like and it looks like they could keep it up.
Right. And like we talked about, they're about to – everybody's hitting the Big Ten schedule, so Big Ten's going to slice and dice through each other. So we'll see who comes out on top after the fact. But right now they're looking really good. All right, I want to jump over to the NBA really quick before we get into NFL playoff talk. The interesting thing in the NBA, there's been a lot of injuries. Tyrese Haliburton went down. I don't know what his status is at the moment, but it didn't look too good. Ja Morant is out for the season. His season is over.
That was such sad news.
Yeah, right after it basically just started.
He was like getting right back into what he was as a player.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, that news just broke.
Yeah. And then for our lowly Pistons, the only player we have, Cade Cunningham, down.
The guy that's coming off of having the best stretch of his career.
Yeah.
He's starting to play like an all-star.
And he's going to be reevaluated in a week.
Yeah.
So,
which means luckily it's not like too bad.
Yeah,
he can still come back.
But
yeah,
it's not a good look. Again, we're like a month away from the trade deadline, so hopefully things start to heat up there. Eric Spoelstra got an extension for $120 million. And the Heat are going to have him, what, another 8 years, I believe? So, good for him. He's now going to be, like, one of the longest tenured coaches in the same place. So, that's pretty cool. And then, what did you say? Kawhi Leonard just got an extension.
He got an extension for 3 years, 153.
Jeez.
So they're assuming he can stay healthy for the next 3 years.
Clippers are still apparently all in.
I mean, what else can they be at this point? There's no going back.
Yeah.
There is no going back.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
It's a lot, though.
Mm-hmm.
3 years, 153.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then, like, the standings haven't really changed too much. The Eastern Conference. I will say New York's been winning. Since the OG,
they are undefeated since they traded for OG and Anunoby.
I didn't expect that to happen.
And OG just had his best game as a Knick.
So I don't know if it's, you know, just luck or what, or if it's actually working.
They're just playing good basketball, honestly.
Yeah, but I was surprised by that. And then the West is kind of still crazy with Minnesota and OKC 1-2. But it's cool to see. Either way, Pistons, hope you can win another game.
Hey, tonight is the game of the year.
I don't know.
The one for all the marbles.
So they're playing the Spurs.
Yeah.
And everybody,
even though Kate is out,
talking about it's the bottom of the barrel bowl. But I don't know. Victor's been playing really well lately. And I don't think we can defend him. I just don't.
Definitely not.
So.
Yeah.
Like, we already have a big man problem. Like, Jalen Duren is kind of the only good big man that we have. So, yeah. I'm nervous.
If Jeremy Sochan doesn't try to make it his offense,
yeah,
like it seems like he's trying to do a lot of times,
mm-hmm,
Victor should keep putting up these good numbers.
Yeah.
And he's still doing it on a minutes restriction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's playing 25, 26 minutes a game.
Yeah.
He's something else.
It's gross. All right. Move to the big, the meat and potatoes of today's podcast, in my opinion. Which,
about that,
speaking
time
of which, for our ONTV food drive, we did our cooking shows, and yesterday Marie and I made steak and potatoes.
Nice.
So
power couple of ONTV,
going with staying on brand for myself with meat and potatoes. Since we're into the playoffs, a lot of the coaching revolving door has begun. I think we talked about Arthur Smith being fired. We know Brandon Staley's been fired. Hurrah. But some big surprises have come out in the last couple days. Mike Vrabel was fired yesterday from the Tennessee Titans after having a winning record and going to the playoffs twice, I believe. And now today, Pete Carroll is out as a Seahawks coach. And apparently he's being moved into some advisory role. Maybe they'll put him into a front office position. I don't know all the details just yet. But what do you think about some of these coaching changes? Especially like Vrabel and Pete Carroll.
Yeah. Everybody wanted Arthur Smith gone, so mm-hmm, nobody's sad about that one.
Right.
Mike Vrabel, I'm actually not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because I believe being stuck in the middle is worse than tanking.
Yeah.
You're stuck in the middle, you can't get a top draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
You're not winning enough. Their brand of football isn't that entertaining outside of King Henry. So the fans aren't really enjoying it.
And his contract is up, so he basically said goodbye to the fans, so.
Yeah, like there was no really like level of ever since they got upset by Cincinnati in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah, I believe so. When they were the number one seed.
Yeah. Yeah. Ever since that upset, nothing has looked good. There's a reason why I've always said I can't trust the Titans.
Yeah.
And that organization isn't very serious.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a serious move, depending on who they go get next.
Yeah.
And what direction they go in as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Because losing Derrick Henry means you got to shift. Just like the rest of the league has shifted, there's no more 25, 30 carry games where you lean on this one guy that gets you some wins. Is Will Levis the future? Who knows? But I don't think the Titans have ever had like a high-level passing offense. Like, even the year Ryan Tannehill was like a borderline MVP candidate.
Mm-hmm. Even with AJ Brown.
The year they were the number one seed. Yeah,
with AJ Brown.
It was like AJ Brown is dangerous. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill is like a good, safe quarterback. And then there's King Henry.
Yeah.
That's basically what it was.
Mm-hmm. And then before that, it was basically like they had some down years. And then before that was when they were good with CJ2K. And they ran the ball.
You got some Jake Locker in there.
They had some DeMarco Murray time. Yeah. So, yeah, they've been a running team. Basically, then.
So, yeah, it might be time for them to shift. And Tajay Spears, the running back they drafted from Tulane, is the type of running back where you split him out, have him catch some passes out of the backfield. You get really creative.
Mm-hmm. And he had a good season for them, ultimately.
So, yeah, I'm really interested in seeing the type of coach they hire next because I hope it's like a really good offensive mind. I'm sure they're going to call Ben Johnson, but.
Yeah, everybody's going to.
Yeah. Now, after Mike Vrabel, Pete Carroll, 2 seasons ago, I thought his career was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the Seahawks were dead. And they were starting Geno Smith. And nobody thought that was going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
Geno Smith had a career resurgence. The Seahawks didn't look like the Legion of Boom era Seahawks, but they look respectable again. After, like, completely falling off defensively and just having Russ save them.
Right.
It looks like they're kind of back to not figuring out what they're going to be again.
Mm.
Even with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett on the back end of his career and Jackson Smith and Jigba, you've made good draft picks. You've got one of the best young corners in the game in Tariq Woolen.
Mm-hmm.
And they still just were a middle-of-the-road team. Some weeks they were exciting. Some weeks they just weren't that good.
They also hit with Devin Witherspoon.
That too.
And he got hurt. But
yeah, all that young, exciting talent.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, what did it amount to?
Yeah.
Nothing special, really.
Yeah.
And even with Geno Smith had some games where he was out.
Mm-hmm.
But with all that talent, you expect a little bit more than what they got.
Yeah. With a very outside shot in week 18 to make the playoffs.
Yeah, so it is shocking that this news came out the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
But they were gonna need a new face and a new voice soon. Now, did we expect it to be like right now? Probably not. But it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I called it too early.
Yeah.
It came now. So they also... I assume they're going to go for somebody with a offensive that leans more offense.
I was going to say
with all the weapons they have,
Ben Johnson would be terrifying in Seattle.
Oh man, the stuff they could pull off!
And they already announced we're playing Seattle again next year. So, yeah,
that might become like a little rivalry or something. Yeah. But yeah, it's a shock in the way it broke in the moment, but it's not surprising seeing that it was coming soon.
Yeah,
he wasn't going to be around for too much longer.
Mm-hmm. Another one that I kind of forgot that it doesn't really matter. Ron Rivera, another one out as the Commanders head coach, well respected in the NFL, just, you know, didn't get it done. But I think the more important one that came out, I think this morning or yesterday, looks like Matt Eberflus is going to stay in Chicago. They fired their offensive coordinator. And, so that almost kind of leans towards them keeping Justin Fields.
That's what I'm pretty sure they're doing at this point.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
I like it, personally. I thought they should keep Justin Fields and go for, like, Marvin Harrison and just shoot for the moon. But it's definitely interesting, I think. And it's going to make the draft really interesting, which is exciting for viewers like me. But, yeah, so.
And the Bears officially have the first pick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't they have 2 top 10 picks?
I don't know where their other one landed because they got some wins late in the season.
One team has 2 top 10s. I think it was.
I mean, they probably do. Yeah,
it was like 1-5 or 1-4 or something.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very interesting. Wait, I can look real quick, actually, because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They have the 10th pick exactly, okay. So that's why.
All right.
Okay. But, yeah. So, this weekend... They call it Super Wild Card Weekend or whatever. It's just Wild Card Weekend. We have how many games? 5, 6? Jeez. Again, math, not my strong suit right now. 6 games, 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and 1 on Monday. The Saturday games, we have the Browns taking on the Texans, which the Texans beat the Colts, and the Jaguars lost. So the Texans won the AFC South, which was pretty crazy. And they're going to play the Joe Flacco Browns on Saturday at 4:30. Who do you think is winning this game?
I'm taking the Browns.
Okay. I think that's kind of the consensus for a lot of people, is that they think the Browns are just the hot team right now. The Browns did beat the Texans a couple weeks back, but CJ Stroud was out of that game. I'm actually, as much as I love Joe Flacco, I'm already starting to lean towards the Texans possibly being able to do this, even though everybody's on the Browns. But Texans are at home. D'Amico Ryans is fired up. CJ Stroud is back, playing great. Nico Collins has been torching teams lately. So I think this could be a fun matchup, and I think it could be a little bit closer than I think what people are thinking.
I think if you get pressure on Joe Flacco,
mm-hmm.
there's only like one or two ways it's going.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't taken many big hits,
mm-hmm.
or I don't know if he's taken any big hits since he's got comeback.
Right.
He hasn't been made uncomfortable in many situations. Like, they've perfectly tailored the offense to him.
Mm-hmm.
If you get pressure on him, bad things could happen.
Yeah. And I think the Texans' defense is, like, sneaky. They're not as bad as people thought they might be. The Saturday night game, we got Dolphins-Chiefs.
On America's Network.
Yeah.
Peacock.
Peacock. Exclusively streaming, by the way. The Dolphins faltering late in the season, losing to the Bills in Week 18 to lose the division, get the sixth seed. And the Chiefs stumbled their way into winning their division. A lot of people don't know how to call this game. I don't really know how to call this game. A lot of people are just giving the Chiefs the advantage for having home field. But where do you think you lean in this game?
Let me see.
Dolphins have been bad on the road.
First of all, I just want to say it is an absolute travesty that this game is on Peacock. I hate this with everything in my body.
And this is one of the storyline games. Well, Browns-Texans is. It's the Deshaun Watson Bowl. Dolphins-Chiefs is the Tyreek Hill Bowl. So, yeah.
I'm going Dolphins.
Okay.
I think Patrick Mahomes does not have more than one receiver that he truly, truly depends on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, is a go-to target. Like, is Rushee Rice their best receiver going into the playoffs?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know. He's a rookie. So that's a little nerve-wracking. Definitely.
And Travis Kelce has been in Taylor Swift mode for most of the season.
Yeah, he's been.
So,
I mean,
he hasn't been dominant.
He's been really good for a tight end, but he hasn't been Travis Kelce good. So there's a discrepancy there. I think I would like the Dolphins to win. I think it would be more exciting to see them move on. I think the Chiefs, if they move on, yes, they have the Patrick Mahomes effect and, like, people love the Chiefs, but it's just not their year. Like, they just don't look exciting. They're not fun to watch, in my opinion, even. So I would rather have the Dolphins win. So I'm kind of hoping that way, but I can definitely see the Chiefs winning it because it's at Arrowhead, and that's just a huge advantage. Isaiah Pacheco could have a huge game against the Dolphins, I think. So, yeah.
I think they need a big game out of Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah.
They need somebody that can keep the chains moving so Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to make magic every mm-hmm. single time he touches the ball.
Yeah. Also, the Dolphins are going in pretty injured. I don't know about Jalen Waddle's status, but he's missed the last two games. Tyreek Hill keeps getting banged up in each game. Raheem Mostert, also a little banged up. They lost a couple defensive players. So they ended up signing James Houston and Bruce Irvin, combined 100 years old. That's not true, but
James Houston being like 23 and Bruce Irvin being like 75.
Yeah. So who knows if they'll make an impact right away or not, but I'm going to lean with my heart here and hope that the Dolphins win. Then on Sunday, those pesky Steelers, how do they keep doing it? They're the seventh seed. They're playing the Bills.
Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I didn't even realize the Steelers made the playoffs.
Yeah.
That just kind of annoyed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they won their last regular season game, which is all they needed to do. And they got some help, obviously, from the Jaguars losing, which was huge for a lot of teams. We can talk about the Jaguars in the offseason because they might have some problems.
Disgusting.
But do you think the Bills just run away with this game, or do you think the Steelers sneak their way in the way they always do?
I think the Steelers keep it close for almost three quarters because Josh Allen can't stop making mistakes.
Yeah. Is Josh Allen the most frustrating quarterback in the league?
He's up there. He's definitely up there. He's like, he's a few mistakes and some shades away from Jameis Winston.
Dang. And then, like, some passes that he throws are just, like, crazy. Some plays he makes are insane.
That deep ball he threw into the back of the end zone, they got picked against Miami.
Mm-hmm.
That had literally, like, zero chance. He just does stuff.
Yeah. He, like,
sometimes it's cool.
It's almost like he forgets where he's at.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Bills, though, in this one. A really fun matchup, I think. 4:30 p.m. game. Packers at the Cowboys. Packers are kind of the young hotness. They're the youngest team in the league, I believe, is what I heard. And Cowboys riding high from Brad Allen. But I don't know. I think the Packers have the chance in this game. I don't know if I think they're going to win, but I think they have a chance. Where do you fall on that game?
I wish the Packers were just a few years older and had a little bit more experience.
Yeah, to be able to do it.
It would make my day if they upset the Cowboys in this one. And Jordan Love just looks like the superior quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see a scenario where Micah Parsons just lets Jordan Love sit back there freely.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Barry.
Yeah.
Like, you can't win playoff games with Joe Barry. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they got to try and have a like close to flawless offensive game plan for them to even have a chance.
Yeah. I will say the one thing that's going in the Packers' favor right now is Aaron Jones is kind of looking like vintage Aaron Jones lately. He's had back-to-back 100-yard games just running the ball. So maybe they can just kind of slow it down, do some trick plays with Jaden Reed. I don't know. I think Matt LaFleur might throw some stuff at him. Mike McCarthy's been losing all these coaching battles. So, yeah, I don't know. Again, I would love for the Packers to win. Don't think they're really going to, but it would be cool to see. All right, we're going to skip to the Monday night game, of course. Eagles and Bucks. Eagles lost to the Giants and Tyrod Taylor in Week 18. Do you think that matters, or are they going to bounce back and beat the Bucks on Monday night?
The Eagles have lost 5 out of their last 6.
Yeah, I believe so. Something like that.
Their defense is terrible. They look like they don't know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Their D-line can't get pressure.
Yep.
With all those Georgia draft picks, you'd expect something would have happened, but nothing has.
You know what did happen?
What?
Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia
that
happened.
That also happened. They made James Conner look like a god, and Kyler Murray looked like he was like 5 inches taller.
Yeah.
It was easy for them. They were on easy mode, just hitting passes and running the ball and doing whatever they wanted. It kind of makes me sad because I wanted the Eagles to win the Super Bowl last year.
Mm-hmm.
They started 10-1.
Yeah,
I wanted them to win their division,
mm-hmm.
and everything has just gone downhill.
Big Jalen Hurts fan.
Like, Jalen Hurts has regressed. I don't know if it's just because Shane Steichen is gone, but just the play calling. Like you can watch that video when they played the Cardinals. You can watch that video of them running a Jalen Hurts QB run, like a weak screen pass, and then another QB run from like 3rd and 15. And the fans just screaming at the top of their lungs, like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Nobody knows what the Eagles are doing. I don't know if they know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just bad.
Yeah, they look unmotivated.
Yeah, with that being said, I'm taking the Bucks.
You're taking the Bucks?
Yes.
Okay.
I have no belief in them getting it together.
Yeah.
To me, they seem like they're too far gone.
Yeah. And with their defense struggling, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans finished the season pretty good. And if anybody wants to prove anything, I think it would be Baker Mayfield.
Look at what Baker did to a bad defense in Lambeau a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Had almost a perfect game.
Yeah.
Put up big numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this could be it could actually be a fun game because the Eagles are struggling.
Yeah.
All right. Sunday Night Football. Rams and Lions. This is literally why I cannot sleep at night.
It's everything.
This is why it's only Wednesday and it feels like it should be Saturday. I'm ready to watch football. And then on Sunday, we have to wait all day on Sunday till Sunday night. Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth on the call. Jared Goff versus Matthew Stafford. Sean McVay versus Jared Goff. First home playoff game at Ford Field. There is so much on the line.
The script writers went crazy on this one.
They did.
They drew up some heat.
Mm-hmm. How do you predict this game going? Try to think with your head because, you know, we're Lions all in right now. But
Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua are problems.
Mm-hmm.
Kyren Williams has gotten better as the season has gone on. They got to get pressure.
Yeah.
The Lions have to get constant pressure on Matthew Stafford. Lions fans know firsthand what happens when you get pressure in Matthew Stafford's face.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't 2011 where he can chuck it 60 yards and Calvin will just be there.
Right.
He's got to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, who am I talking with? I was going to reference a coach. I kind of lost where I was going. But, yeah. Like, they've got to get after him. And they got to make him uncomfortable all game long.
And you know who's had 5 sacks in the last 2 games?
Hutch. Heating up at the right time.
Yeah.
They got to do some stunts that'll get him open rushing lanes. Aleem McNeil's healthy.
Yep.
He's got to get back there.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson
is
back.
And C.J. Gardner-Johnson has to play the best game that he can play.
Yeah.
Because, my God, Kendall Vildor.
Yeah.
And Cam Sutton falling asleep.
Yeah, it's rough.
You can't let Cooper and Puka just run wild.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
I would say, so like my thoughts have been, I would rather Cooper Kupp get his than Puka Nacua. Because
Puka Nacua is more explosive.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's my point. I would rather keep it underneath, let him dink and dunk to Cooper Kupp. That's fine by me. Kyren Williams could care less about. I don't care. Everybody keeps talking about Kyren Williams, LA Rams running the ball like crazy. People keep forgetting the Lions are the number one running defense in the league overall.
They did let Tony Pollard break enough runs to keep drives going when they played Dallas. But this isn't Dallas. This is not Dallas. This is at home.
They have stopped so many running backs.
This is the Lions' first home playoff game since 1993.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kyren Williams should be a zero.
Yeah.
Should be.
The crowd is going to go crazy. And I just think the Lions are going to be fired up. Sam Laporta, that stinks.
Yeah.
I'm almost starting to lean on the side. Let's just sit him. Leave him for a week. Let him fully rest so he's ready for the second round. I'm looking ahead already. Not to take away from Sunday night, but I think we can win without him. As crazy as that sounds, as good of a rookie season he's had, I think we can ground and pound against the Rams and slow the pace down if we have to. I think Jared Goff's going to be on fire. I think he's ready. This is what he's been waiting for.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
The way that defense looked against the Vikings,
mm-hmm.
do you have some extra fear that Nick Mullins can make it look easy and the DBs can just like lose track and lose focus like that? Even in this playoff atmosphere, which we assume everybody will be locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the last game of the season.
Yeah.
But you can't let Nick Mullins just like, I still don't understand letting him play like that.
Yeah.
And Ty Chandler broke some really nice runs.
So part of my thought is like, okay, Nick Mullins had 2 basically 400-yard games against us. 4 picks in the one, 2 in the other. We won both those games. Dak Prescott had a big game. CeeDee Lamb had a huge game. Technically, we won that game. Like, this is just how this team is operating. And it's frustrating, obviously, because you give up big plays, and big plays are terrifying. But it just seems like that's their identity. And I keep saying to people, like, why are we so afraid of Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua when literally anybody else in the NFC that we play have elite wide receivers, no matter where we go? It doesn't matter. Like, the AFC is the one conference that, okay, you could say some teams don't have elite receivers. But in the NFC, you have Tampa Bay, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. You have Philadelphia, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. You have the Rams. You have the Packers, even, with Christian Watson possibly being healthy and Jaden Reed. The Cowboys, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, we got lit up by them. The stinging 49ers have Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, and Christian McCaffrey. So, like, no matter where you go in the NFC, there are elite receivers. And technically, you could say the same about us. We have Amon-Ra St. Brown, Sam Laporta, unfortunately going to be hurt. But that's just the way it is. And that's the weakness of our team, is the DBs. But we're really good against the run. And the other thing, in the Dallas game, it was a lower scoring affair, even though we gave up all those yards. My brother and I keep saying it's a bend, don't break kind of defense.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you just have to lay into it your identity and know that if you are able to set the pace, then we can just win. It's kind of like Michigan. Like, if the Lions get ahead, I think they're good, fairly good at holding leads, even if the team makes some comebacks and stuff. It feels like the Lions always step up, at least this year, when they've needed to. And so, yeah, I'm going to be concerned about the wide receivers and losing big plays. But I think at the end of the day, if we make enough impact plays, if Hutchinson gets enough pressure, gets a couple sacks, if, like, we saw Jack Campbell come off the edge and get a sack last week. We've seen Ifeatu Melifonwu get a sack off the edge. Like, we're scheming up different blitz packages that I think at the right time is working for our defense. And that's what makes me hopeful, I think, for the defense. And it's just kind of that known quantity. Like, Puka Nacua is probably going to have a good game. Cooper Kupp, I don't know. It depends on how we want to play it. But yeah, I'm just going in with the fact knowing we're probably going to give up a couple big plays. But I think with Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, we're going to set the tone. And we're going to win in the trenches. The offensive line, fully healthy, going to be good. And, yeah, like, the Rams' defense is no better than ours. And people don't bring that up, I don't think. Yeah, they have Aaron Donald. He's a world breaker. But their defense overall, they have young DBs as well. They're not that great against the pass. So, realistically, this could be a big Jameson Williams game, for all we know. Especially with Sam Laporte out. He'll probably get some more targets. So, I don't know why national media still just doesn't believe in the Lions. I mean, I guess I get it. It's just the franchise as a whole. You take history into account. The Rams have Matthew Stafford, who's won a Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. They're kind of the hot team right now. But I think people forget how good the Lions are, especially at home. Again, they're at home, they're in prime time, and their offensive line is healthy. Those three things have been huge for them all season. So, yeah. I'm gaining confidence as the week goes on.
Final score prediction.
I do think it's going to be a little bit high scoring. I know the over-under is like 51.5 or something. I would say it's probably something along the lines of like 38-30. And if it's not that, I could definitely see it being like a 27-21 type game too. But yeah, I'm going to go with 38-30.
You know what's crazy?
Fun high scoring. What?
My predicted score is 37-30.
Okay.
That's before you said 38-30.
Okay.
So we're locked up here.
All righty. Cool.
In the same state of mind.
Yeah. I just think the Lions are going to get out ahead. My favorite thing, too, is if the Lions win the coin toss, I love their first drive potential. They've been so good on opening drives this season, especially if they get the ball. So I'm excited for it. And then bring on the Cowboys. Bring on the Cowboys. All righty. That's it. Next week, we're going to recap the Lions' win over the Rams. We're putting it into the universe.
Lions winning the playoff game. Michigan winning the night. What is happening? What is this?
I don't know.
What universe are we in?
Pretty cool one. Apparently, we sacrificed all our basketball teams.
They had a nice run.
Yeah.
They had a nice run.
They did.
But the times have changed.
Yeah. So, congratulations on your national title, Malik. Hopefully, you don't have to wait another 26 years.
Hopefully not.
For the next one. But this has been Fuse from the Sidelines, and we'll see you guys next time.
Everybody tune in for the NBA championship tonight, Pistons Spurs. It's what we've all been waiting for. Game of the year.